Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Lord Jesus, thank you, and we praise you for this, your beautiful, precious daughter. Elizabeth is yours. God, you have opened all the right doors in all the right ways, and obviously we didn't always understand how that was going to happen, but you did it, and you have her in the heart of your heart there in northern Uganda. God, take care of her. Be a blessing to her so she can continue to be a blessing to others. Lord, I just pray for a fresh anointing, a filling of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that empowers her to just be who you need her to be there in northern Uganda. She is yours, Jesus. She belongs to you. God, we praise you that we get to be her partners and her supporters in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you. All right, so look, we're going to take our offering this morning. I'm going to pray for that, but I want y'all to know we support Elizabeth, you know, through our missions committee and different things. But if you want to support her directly, talk to her, talk to me. I think she was in the outreach class. They'll know more about how to make that connection. But God's taking care of her. But if you want to be a part of what God's doing, she would love that, and so would the Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for this church and all the different ways that we get to give and invest in what you're doing in this world. Lord, let us never get so tunnel visioned about where we are that we don't look up to see what you're doing in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Lord, when your Holy Spirit comes, the witnesses will go, and they will go to all those places and beyond. So may that not just be Elizabeth, but all of us who understand ourselves as the ones who are sent. We are the sent ones. We are the missionaries to this world, local, and to this world global. And so come, Lord, even as we give to you today, receive our gifts. Let these gifts be given in love, and use our gifts to change this world. In Jesus' name, amen. May all my days bring glory to your name. That's a pretty good prayer right there. Thank you guys for leading us in worship this morning. One verse from God's word. Hear and receive the word of the Lord. This is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. That's how the old translations say it. The new translations say uninformed. You know, I don't want you to be unaware. But I think this might be a little bit more in our face. About spiritual gifts, my brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. Lord Jesus, we just confess, we've studied a lot of things. We've learned about a lot of things. And this may not be one of them. So this morning, Lord, come, open our eyes. Lord, open our hearts, open our minds to just the principles and truths about spiritual gifts. But Lord, even more than that, Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds to the movement of your Holy Spirit within us. We don't want to just learn about your gifts. We want to receive you this day. Come, Holy Spirit. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in these persons, these your sons and your daughters. Come and fill us this day. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen. Okay, this morning, I'm going to start with, I'm doing a top 10 list, so let me do a top 5 list. A top 5 joke list. This is from Cal Hoffman. I'm horrible at these, but I'm going to try. If y'all don't know Cal, Cal leads a men's group on Tuesdays, and so actually, Tuesdays at 11:30, any guy here, he'd love for you to come. And they go out and eat at all different kinds of places, young guys, middle-aged guys, older guys. And so, anyway, it's a great group. And so if that fits your schedule, please think about it. But anyway, one of the things, I've been to the group once. And so because I've been to the group once, I'm now in the text thread where they do jokes. They just send jokes to each other all week long. So here are my top 5 jokes from Cal's men's group. Number 1, why can't Monday lift Saturday? And the punchline, yeah, Monday is a weekday. Okay, all right. Okay, number 2, one boat carrying blue paint collided with another boat carrying red paint, and the crew is missing and believed to be marooned. Okay, number three, I can't decide if I like rocking chairs or not. I keep going back and forth. Okay, all right, okay. Thank you, Paul. Okay, all right, number four. Now, this is a good one. Be slow on the punchline. Let them think about it. When is a door not a door? Okay, next. When it's ajar. That's like my favorite one. Okay, all right. Number five, this was during the July 4th week. Number five, which colonist told the most jokes? Ready? The Pennsylvanians. Okay, all right, okay. All right, this is why I'm not good at jokes. Okay, all right, look, I did hear a good one. Let's see. There was a guy in Ohio, and he is suing Smart Water because it didn't make him smart. I'm going to court tomorrow. Terrell, you could come help me. I'm going to court tomorrow, and I'm going to sue Thin Mints. See, I tell you, I can't do it. Okay, all right. Okay, so look, here, now put up that little continuum, if you will, Jamarian. And dude, you're going to have to work with me today because I got more stuff than we're going to get to. But this is in the jokes. You know, Cal's group, their jokes. We can be ignorant of their jokes. We never even knew they were making jokes, right? Never even heard they did jokes. Or maybe we're acquainted with their jokes a little bit, kind of like, you know, what we just did. You've now heard five of them. Believe me, there are hundreds, right? But you're a little acquainted. Or maybe you're informed. You're going to the group. You're in the text thread, and you're getting the information. You know, literally every day. I was doing the funeral yesterday. I had my phone in my pocket. It was going zip, zip, zip. I knew it was them doing the jokes. Anyway, okay. All right. So this morning, top 10 things we need to know, not about Cal Hoffman's jokes or Cal Hoffman's men's group's jokes, but 10 things we need to know about spiritual gifts. Number one, Greek word is charismata. All right. The Greek word for grace and the Greek word for gifts, it's the same word. It's charis. It's charismata. And, here's the deal you need to know. You don't earn spiritual gifts. You receive them. You don't earn spiritual gifts. I've been coming to church for 40 years and I got this. No, you don't. That's not the way it works. You don't earn them. You don't deserve them. You receive them. You don't go to the spiritual bookstore and pick them up or pick them out. You open your life to the presence and power and provision of God's Spirit in your life. Now, look, I don't know about Christmas at your house, but I think at a lot of our houses, Christmas has gotten a little entitled, okay? So, it starts when maybe your kids are 3 or 4 and they go and they sit in Santa Claus's lap and they ask for whatever they ask for, and then boom, it happens. Well, look, that stuff, it just gets bigger, and those requests gets bigger, and those gifts gets bigger. And so I have been to Christmases at my house and probably similar to your house, you know, a lot of stuff. And if you ever don't get what you really asked for. In Sunday school this morning, we heard Jack Deere talk about when he was a kid and asked for this, you know, this biplane that was a remote control biplane. He was like 10 or 11 years old, and he didn't get it. And he told his dad, "Dad, don't you know that, you know, kids are supposed to get what they ask for?" We can kind of treat God like that. May that not be how we approach God's Spirit or God's gifts. Let every day, by the way, be Christmas morning. You get up and you just pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, you give me the gifts today that you want me to have. God, you give me what you need me to have. I will receive and use these gifts with joy and gratitude and faithfulness. Holy Spirit, you call the shots. Holy Spirit, you have your way with me. Every morning's Christmas morning. If you come to the Spirit and say, Lord, give the gifts that you want to give to me this day. All right? I hope that makes sense. Charis, charismata. It's the same Greek word that's used for salvation. You know, for Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the free gift, the free charis of God is eternal life. It's salvation, but it's also used to talk about spiritual gifts. Second thing, the purpose of spiritual gifts is building up the body of Christ. Putting muscle. Tanner, can you come back up and show? No. The purpose of spiritual gifts is to build up the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Three times in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says the purpose of spiritual gifts is to build up the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 14:26. When shall we say, brothers and sisters, or what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Are you getting the message, maybe, that spiritual gifts aren't all about you? They're not all about me. Spiritual gifts are all about all of us, ministering and caring for each other. Here's Ephesians chapter 4. Now, by the way, this could have been the whole sermon this morning, so just here's Paul laying down the purpose. Listen for purpose. So Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. We call that the apest. And here's why these gifts were given: to equip his people. To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. There we go again. Until we all reach unity. Unity in faith and knowledge of Jesus, the Son of God, and become mature. Y'all hear all those purpose words? Spiritual gifts are to be operative to do all of these things, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So what are spiritual gifts all about? What's the purpose of spiritual gifts for you and me? When all of our gifts, when we're using our gifts the way God wants us to use our gifts, we will become formed and transformed into the image, the fullness of Christ. Man, wouldn't that be awesome? Okay, third. Spiritual gifts are meant to be used. I know a little redundant here in the sense of if you want to build a muscle, you got to use a muscle. You know, if you don't use it, what do they say? You lose it. So we are called to build our spiritual muscles. If you and I are all about building up, strengthening, maturing, growing the body of Christ, then we have to get our gifts into action. They're not doing any good hiding away in our closet. Spiritual gifts are not doing any good in the pause mode. Spiritual gifts are not doing any good when we're postponing or deferring our gifts because of something going on around us in the world. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of encounter. Now is the day to let the Holy Spirit fill you and use you to change this world. At the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I read the first verse. But what happens in the next couple of verses is that Paul contrasts spiritual gifts and the working of God's Spirit in our lives with the impotent, mute idols of false gods in the Greco-Roman world. Look at verse 1. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, when you were non-believers, when you were chasing after your own gods instead of chasing after the God, right? Somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Idols that had zero power. Idols that literally said nothing of any value to you. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. No one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. So this spiritual gifts, you know, I guess my question is the Holy Spirit on mute in your life? You know, the difference between all these dead idols and all these false gods is those gods have no real power, no real say-so in your life. But the Holy Spirit is meant to be active. So this morning, is the Holy Spirit active and working in your life, or is the mute button on? Is God filling you and using you in your everyday life, or is your conduit, you know, the conduit for the fruits and gifts of His Spirit, is it open, or is there something clogging, something clogging up the spiritual plumbing so that His good gifts are not flowing to you or through you? So I just got a few cloggers or quenchers, things that clog the spirit in our life or quench the spirit. First, there's ignorance. Ignorance, again, we already talked about it. If you don't know about spiritual gifts, you're probably not using spiritual gifts. Unbelief. You think, oh, well, maybe that was good for 2,000 years ago, but what do spiritual gifts have to do for today? We don't believe that's the way the Holy Spirit works nowadays. And then there's comparison. You know, well, you know, I wish I had what so-and-so has, or how come they get that? Lord, why do I have this? And so comparison, by the way, is always the thief of joy. And then there's neglect. Paul talks to Timothy about this. Don't neglect the spiritual gift. And so what this is when we have a gift, but because we've gotten busy doing something else, or because maybe we were chasing after something else, we've let this gift get dust. We've let it get neglected. We've let it be in the warehouse of our soul instead of out front, you know, as we're marching forward in life. And then there's pride. Pride is when we reject the leading and empowering of God's Spirit. We think we're better off trusting in ourselves than we are trusting in God. This is a lot of us. Pride is, you know, things aren't the way they ought to be, but they're pretty good, you know. We take the known of our own reality against the unknown of what God might do if we really let Him. And then there's also fear. You know, fear, if we do this, is God really going to come through? Fear that, you know, if we do this thing, if we let God's Spirit move and work in us, what are people going to think about us? And then there's a critical spirit. Jim Hesterly talks about how a critical spirit will quench the Spirit's work every single time in our life. He describes how David was serving the Lord. Y'all remember how David was dancing and worshiping the Lord, but his wife Michal had a critical heart toward him. And as a result, Michal had no children by David. Hesterly says that when we become critical of others' ministry, we too become barren and without fruit. If the person is serving the Lord, there comes a point where we need to stop being critical and just trust the Lord Jesus to deal directly with them. Let Him be the judge. If something really is a problem, God will take care of it. Romans 14:4. Who are you to condemn God's servants? They are responsible to the Lord, so let Him tell them whether they are right or wrong. The Lord's power will help them do as they should. So when you look at that list of seven things, I just wonder where you might be experiencing clogged up spiritual pipes, where God's not flowing this way to you because you've got Him clogged up and you're not letting Him flow through you. Okay, four, gifts without love are pointless, useless, meaningless. Here, Paul teaches 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Guess what 1 Corinthians 13 is? That's the love chapter. It's the one we read at weddings and funerals and stuff like that, but it's right there in the middle of him teaching about spiritual gifts. It's almost like this great big love parenthesis between chapter 12 and chapter 14. This is what 13 says. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels... In other words, I'm speaking the tongues of men, I'm teaching, or I'm speaking in tongues, speaking in the tongues of angels, but have not love, I'm just a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. I'm just making noise. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and if I have faith, that's a spiritual gift. Faith is a gift where everybody else has gone home, they quit believing, and you still see that there's light at the end of the tunnel. That's a gift of faith. If I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. It doesn't even matter. If I give all I possess to the poor, the gift of giving, and surrender my body to the flames, the gift of martyrdom, but have not love, I gain nothing. I accomplish nothing. It's like Jesus said, He's the vine, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And if you're not connected to the vine, those branches, they're not growing, they're dying. And y'all, if we're trying to, you know, have the gifts of the Spirit without love, we're disconnected from He who is love. So this morning, where can you let love become more real? J.D. said, I think it was this week, and I don't even know where, so he was talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, you can have power without love, but you can never have God's love without God's power. You see, if you're here this morning, you're seeking the gifts and you're not seeking the giver, you're missing the point. If you want all this power from God without His love for you and for others, you're missing the point. Love, gifts without love, spiritual gifts without love are pointless. 5, everyone has been given gifts. Romans 12:6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. 1 Corinthians 12:7, now to each one of you, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So y'all, listen, every one of you, if you believe in Jesus, every one of you who are a Christian, you've been given spiritual gifts. So the question this morning, I ask Elizabeth, you know, didn't give her any warning, what is your spiritual gift? Or what are your spiritual gifts? We all have them, but I think honestly, there's a lot of us could never answer that question. We've never been taught. We've never even talked about it. We are ignorant, unaware, uninformed. So this morning, if you want to get informed about your spiritual gifts, if you don't know and you want to know, if you've never taken a spiritual gifts test but you're really interested in, here's what you do. Just text right there, gifts, to that number. You know how many folks text me this morning from the 8:30 service? I don't think anybody did. I really haven't looked at my phone, but when I left this morning, I'm going, here's your time to pull out your phone. Please. Don't let, if this morning, if we talk about all this information about spiritual gifts and you don't do anything about it, man, we wasted an opportunity from the Lord. 6, He's the master giver. The master giver is the master of our gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. He's the master giver, and He's the one who is the master of our gifts. Dr. Helen Rosevier, who was serving as a missionary to Zaire, tells the following story. Said a mother at our mission station died after giving birth to a premature baby. We tried to improvise an incubator to keep the infant alive, but the only hot water bottle we had was beyond repair. So we asked the children to pray for the baby boy and for his older sister too. And one of the girls responded, "Dear God, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late because by then the baby will be dead. And dear Lord, send a doll for his sister so she won't feel so lonely." That afternoon, a large package arrived from England. The children watched eagerly as we opened it, and much to their surprise, under some clothing was a hot water bottle. And immediately the girl who had prayed so earnestly, she started to dig deeper in the box in the crate, exclaiming, "If God sent that, I'm sure He sent a doll too." And she was right. The Heavenly Father knew in advance of that child's sincere request. And 5 months earlier, He had led a ladies' discipleship group to include both of those specific articles. In that women's discipleship group back in England, right? There they are meeting for prayer, meaning to study God's word. And in that women's discipleship group in England, there was probably a woman who had the gift of compassion or mercy. And she said, "We need to help, but we need to help these children in Zaire." And there was probably in that group, you know, someone who had the gift of discernment, maybe a word of knowledge. And she just said, "You know, we need to make sure that we send a hot water bottle, and we need to send some toys for the kids." A woman with the gift of administration or leadership, you know, planned all the details, packed the box, got it all ready. Maybe someone with the gift of helps made sure that they got mailed, the package got mailed as soon as possible and made it exactly right for it, sent on the right day, received on the right day. Maybe someone had the gift of giving and they were able to financially underwrite the whole project. Someone surely had the gift of faith and miracles to pray that God would powerfully use every single gift that they sent, that God would, in His timing and in His power, use those gifts to literally save and change lives for Jesus. Y'all, don't ever underestimate what God can do in your life through His gifts that He's given you. Don't ever underestimate how important your surrender and faithfulness to God really is, especially when you're functioning as a part of the body of Christ. Remember, He is the master giver. He knows what He's doing. He knows what, you know, He knows what's needed 5 months from when you met together to pray. Here's the principle. Don't ask for the ministry to match your gifts, but the gifts to match your ministry. I have the gift of leadership, so give me a great big church, I have the gift of teaching, so, give me some great group to teach. How about just, Lord, today you give me what you think I need to make a difference in this world for you. It's so interesting that, it's like, I know folks and they, I have the gift of teaching, so I can't put up tables and chairs, right? Or I have the gift of speaking in tongues, so I don't have time to, operate in helps. By the way, when we've done spiritual gifts testing here at St. Luke's, one of the places where we're most deficient is in the gift of evangelism. Oh, my word. By the way, whether or not you have the gift of evangelism or not, Bear does. Whether you have the gift of evangelism or not, you're called to do the work of the evangelist. Whether or not you have the gift of servanthood, you're called to serve. You're called to wash feet just like Jesus did. Whether you have the gift of teaching, you're called to teach others about Jesus. Don't ask for the ministry to match your gifts, but the gifts to match your ministry. Embrace surrender. Let Him be the one who calls the shots. You let go of the control that you think you got to have. Let Him be the one in charge. Okay, 7. There are spiritual gifts lists. And in these lists, by the way, these spiritual gifts lists, they're not necessarily exhaustive. Jamarian, you got that next slide, maybe. Okay, so these don't have to be exhaustive. There's 3 places in Scripture where we really see, and you can go to that next slide. I apologize for this slide, y'all. It is straight out just a picture of, I think, page 10. This was the book. I got this book in 1981. I think this is the remake in 2000 or something. But that picture, you see there's basically 3 places where these lists are given. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. All right? But they're not exhaustive. I think God works. God's not just limiting Himself to these things. But notice what's on all these lists. And if you want to listen to Paul talk about it, read 1 Corinthians 14. He really talks about prophecy. Prophecy is not the foretelling of the future. It's the foretelling of God's word in a relevant way to make a difference in this world. So speaking prophecy, hopefully on Sunday mornings when someone's preaching up here, you get a little bit of that prophetic gift. But I believe this isn't the primary place for it. I think truth is best communicated across the bridge of interpersonal relationships. So it's when you're having lunch with somebody and God just says, man, Andy, you need to share with them blank. It's when you're washing dishes at home with your wife and all of a sudden you say, something that God laid on my heart today was blank. Prophecy, teaching is understanding, learning this text, and also understanding and learning the audience and building a connection between the two. Serving is when we literally are in the gift of helps. We're literally meeting practical needs in people's lives. Y'all probably can't even read up there. Exhortation. I said Lowell Cadell was here. He's 92 years old this morning. That dude is a cheerleader in the body of Christ. he just goes around, you know, well, I think, you know, you can't be, I mean, every, we had those big congregational meetings and Lowell speaking to 200 people about how great this church is. He's a cheerleader. Giving. This is where all of us are, by the way, again, all of us are called to give. All of us are called to tithe, right? But this giving, this is somebody who's like, they exist to give. I'll always remember this guy. He made a pledge to give $200 for this advanced special or whatever it was. And the deal was, you were supposed to give this money out of money you didn't have. That guy gave that $200 away six different times, and my hunch is he's still giving it away. You know, the gift of giving. Giving aid or leadership is what the new translations say there in Romans 12. Compassion, that's the gift of mercy. This is when you literally, Jesus, remember when he saw the crowds, he had compassion. They're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. You remember? This is when you're given this ability to actually feel and know where someone else is broken. I could keep going. I'm not going to, but because we got to go. But y'all, there's so much that's written about spiritual gifts. And I would just say, again, you get up in the morning, you say, Lord, whatever gifts you want to give me, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to do in me today, I'm yours. You give me the gifts that you want me to have to make a difference in this world for you. Eight, it's obvious we all need each other. My gifts for you, your gifts for me, all our gifts for each other. You know, when it's working right, and all of us are using our spiritual gifts, it's like a great symphony to the glory of God. It's like a great symphony that has consequential impact in this world in which we live. I mean, when we're all using our spiritual gifts, watch out, world, because we're coming, man. And it's this movement of love and grace and hope and the power of the Spirit in this city in which we live. Todd Sons was telling me when he was growing up, he was his mom was director of the bell choir at La Mesa. And so Todd said one time he was out there and, you know, they're all inside. They've already practiced and rehearsed. But he went outside and he was just ringing his bell. He was just letting it ring. And somewhere it dropped and all the way from up here down to the concrete. And it really messed that bell up. And so, you know, all of a sudden it was time to come in. It was time for them to do their nothing. They weren't rehearsing. They were actually doing their concert. And the first time he had to play his bell, it went, you know, and all of a sudden the symphony wasn't the way it needed to be. When you're not using your spiritual gifts, if I'm not using my spiritual gifts, we get out of sync, and our symphony, instead of being this beautiful, glorious praise to God, it becomes off key. We need each other. So I ask you this morning again, don't stay ignorant, don't stay unaware, don't stay uninformed. Learn your spiritual gifts and use them. Nine, I'm not going to spend time here, going to keep moving. Spiritual gifts should be nurtured, sharpened, and trained. It's not like I get my gift and so then I just, you know, I just, that's all I get. I get it and it never grows, it never matures, it never gets developed. Just like any good thing, our spiritual gifts need to be trained and matured. Okay, number 10, you with me? Okay. Number 10, lastly, there's a difference between spiritual gifts and human talents. Difference between spiritual gifts and human talents. Ken Kinghorn defines a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is a divine, supernatural ability given by God to enable a Christian to serve, minister, and make a difference for Jesus in this world. Talents are of human origin. Gifts come from God. Talents are inherited. Gifts are received. Talents are possessed by the saved and the unsaved. Gifts are possessed by the saved. Talents can be used selfishly, but gifts are used only to serve God's purposes. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow the way of love and eagerly, passionately, deeply desire gifts of the Spirit. This morning, do you have that desire? Do you have that want in your life for the gifts of the Spirit to be present in you, for you, and through you? Okay, I want to close this morning by putting up the chart that we started the morning with Cal's jokes. You see, so this morning, are you ignorant? Right? You know, you don't know anything about spiritual gifts and you really don't want to. Are you a little bit acquainted where, you know, yeah, you've heard of spiritual gifts. In fact, I just heard a sermon, 10 things this morning about spiritual gifts. You had some exposure. Or are you informed? Are you in the thread, right? That communication thread where the Holy Spirit is working and moving and acting in your life daily. And so you're informed and open to the presence of God's Spirit in your life. You want to know more about spiritual gifts? Then seek to know more of the Holy Spirit. You want to know more about spiritual gifts? Then know more of the Holy Spirit. I invite you to my house for the next 3 Monday nights because Seedbed's doing a course on the Holy Spirit, and it's Mondays at 6:30, 6:30 to 8. We're just going to plug in the computer and watch whatever Seedbed's doing. And so if you want to be a part of that, come. And I mean it. I don't mean we could have way too many people and we got to park outside. I don't know. I don't know. But y'all, we're all invited. If you want to know more about the Holy Spirit. And again, as you know more of the Holy Spirit, you will come to know more about His gifts. Lord Jesus, this morning, we come with open minds, open hearts, and our hands open to You. For You to give to us as You desire. You're the master of the gifts. Lord, we're Your vessels. We're Your conduits. Come and pour out Your Spirit to us and through us for this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.